TLS is go for main engine start.
Go at throttle up. Negative return. Then we see a nominal Miko. Welcome to space.
Hello, Anthony.
Jacob. It's not your name.
That's not my name. No. Contrary to popular belief, not my real name.
It's a fun fact for another day, but we're back on Twitch.
We're back on Twitch.
Second month in a row.
Self-isolation extreme edition.
Turns out when you're stuck in your house for this long, you can figure out how to produce video.
That's how it turns out, yeah. How's your quarantine been, man?
Oh, you know, I already work from home, so.
Yeah, it's no different for you.
Just like the park's empty and it's kind of weird. It's a little creepy out. Great news if you live in the Philadelphia area is that the Italian market is very low traffic.
Okay.
So
all right.
I've got excellent resources right there.
Yeah. I mean, I'm doing a home renovation and Home Depot is still open and I'm doing podcasts like this and the alcohol store is still open. And so like, I'm okay.
Were you getting a little nervous that your favorite favorite store was going to shut? Like not shut down forever, but like at least be closed so you wouldn't have access for off nominal?
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah. But I guess, so one thing I didn't know is that you can't close liquor stores because they're essential because people with alcoholism can't go into stark withdrawal like that. And so that is like, it's a unfortunate reason that they have to stay open, but I'm also kind of thankful for it because this has been a trying time for everyone.
That was a hot topic here in Pennsylvania because we are one of the weird backward states that has state-owned liquor stores.
Okay. Yeah.
Like now they're kind of loosened some of the constraints around that recently. If you have an area in your store where you can sit and eat and consume the alcohol, you can sell beer and wine. So like Whole Foods added a little table section. Now they can sell beer and wine. But other than that, liquor stores are state run. So this was like a major topic of like the government shutting down except for liquor stores. It's a whole thing.
Right.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Really uplifting start to this rip-roaring episode of Off Nominal.
Well, why don't you show us what you're drinking then? We'll just segue that right in.
I may or may not have... Well, I went into the store. As you know, I have a hard time finding space-related beer in my local store, just generally. Mm-hmm. I went in today, a little bit off... I don't know if you listened to the recent episode of Main Engine Cutoff. I didn't have super great things to say about the Russians and their recent management around crewed launch and how they're not going to put some people on this first operational mission of Dragon that comes up later this year.
I did listen. It was a great episode. Everyone should listen to it.
I found this beer called Darn Putin.
Darn Putin.
And it's got this like, look at this amazing illustration on it.
A little Kremlin on it?
Yeah. So it's a Russian Imperial Stout. And I was like, oh, you know what? It's how I feel. So I guess I'll get one of these. And then they only had one left, so I got a backup Supercluster Ale from Lagunitas. I don't know. Okay. Did I have one of these on the show before?
I seem to remember that one.
I think I did.
So either I've had it like on a trip to Texas or something.
Something
or
like that.
You've had it. Which is more likely you, because I think I only drink like weird Houston beers when I go down there. So, well, unless Lagunitas is Texan.
No, it's California.
California?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Okay.
North of San Francisco. It's up in, I think it's in Petaluma. Actually, I know it's in Petaluma because I worked with them once. It's great.
Okay. All right.
We did their website at the last company I worked at, and part of the payment was that they would deliver cases of Lagunitas to our office. It was amazing.
This is why I went into web development.
Yeah, totally. Right there. Real, congrats.
The real reason.
Oh, yeah.
Nothing
right.
to do with all this going on.
We do need
stuff.
To circle back on that topic towards the end of the episode.
Sure, sure.
Okay. What you got over there?
So I thank you to the listeners in the Discord who were showing off their beers ahead of the show because it reminded me 30 minutes ago that I do not have a beer yet for this show. Thankfully, I live across the street from the liquor store, as we just talked about. So I ran over there and 4 minutes later, I had a beer. So this is Steamworks Brewing, one of my favorites, Espresso Stout. So kind of outside my wheelhouse because normally I do like...
Hold on, let me go full screen on that sucker, because everybody needs to really bask in the glory of that illustration.
It's a really good one, yeah. Steamworks has this kind of like steampunk themed all their things, so you can see like the little propeller on the light bulb and stuff.
What's,
yeah,
what's flying next to it?
Like little cups of coffee with wings. Like,
oh, yeah, okay.
Like ornithopter coffee cups or whatever you want to call them. So, but yeah, so I like I said, I normally drink like IPAs and pilsners and that kind of stuff. So a stout is a little outside my wheelhouse, but I'm going to give it a go. So yeah, it's a great beer. It's nice and thick. You can see how thick it is in the glass there, right?
Oilers glass. Remember hockey, Jake?
Not really, to be honest. So.
All right, we got some business here.
Yeah, we do. We put out a poll, Anthony. We have a scientific data for this episode.
Is it scientific? This was a poll in which I immediately knew which answer I was going to click, and yet didn't know if I got it right or not.
So we put a poll out on Twitter. Okay, so this episode is going to be about logos. So actually, why don't you set us up? Can you tell us the story of how this came about?
The best news of the year is
we're already biased.
Undisputed best news of the year is that the NASA worm is back. Unbiased news is that there was once a NASA worm in the late 70s to the early 90s that immediately, in like a single day, got excised from the agency. And they went back to the meatball, and it has been banished since. But our beloved leader, JB himself, has determined that the NASA worm is making a return on DM2.
JB.
I love that you have one at the ready.
Where else am I going to put it other than right here in front of me?
Let me pull up a photo because, God, does this look good on SpaceX hardware?
It really does. I got to admit, because the black and white of the Falcon is like, it's reminiscent of like early shuttle, you know, like it, so it really feels good.
Oh yeah. So the interesting thing about this is that the worm is coming back as a secondary logo, which I think is an easy way of starting out to bring the worm back before they just bring the worm back.
Yeah.
Entirely.
Yeah.
So I'm fairly confident that the worm itself will be back as the primary logo in the not too distant future. Where do you think that's going to land?
Well, you know, 2020 has been a year that has challenged all, preconceptions. So, oh yeah, look at that picture.
Look at that worm on this hardware.
Yeah, I don't know, man. Like, who knows what could happen? Somewhere past November of this year, we'll have a better idea of what the future of NASA is going to look like. But, yeah, it does look good, though.
It looks really good. So now NASA is back in this state in which they have been for many years, where the meatball is the primary logo and the worm is this thing that's kind of in the periphery. And there's almost some faction fighting about whether this should be the real logo or not, which I think is why you put up this poll that I will pull up here on Twitter.
I'm so proud of this poll.
The pregame poll. Stupid worm or stupid meatball were the two choices. And stupid worm won?
Barely eked out a success.
By 3 or 4%? Can you please explain to me the results of this poll, because I cannot make sense of this.
Well, it says stupid worm, 51.9%, stupid meatball, 48.1%, 81 votes. So yeah, I put that up a couple days ago. I think, well, you can see my, you want to see my bias. So I started with the options and I wrote stupid worm. And then I went to the next one. I was like, oh no, everyone's going to know it's me. And I went, ah, stupid meatball.
Oh, so this was trying to hide the bias. Yeah. So, okay. So we have, this is might be our biggest dispute in the world of space. You are not a worm person.
Well, you know me better than that. What do you think my actual take on is on worm versus meatball? Think hard about how I take sides on things.
Very lightly.
Yeah.
You probably don't care at all.
I'm like, I'm a meatball guy, but I love the worm.
Okay. All right. I thought you were angry about it. And in my case, the worm is undisputed one of the greatest logos in the history of the world.
Wow, that's a bold
claim.
It is
unbelievable.
That's pretty bold, because there are some good logos out there.
There are some good logos, but nothing has completely, in like, you know, the first instant of the NASA worm, defined a genre of logo for 40 to 50 years. I think many of today's modern space logos draw a direct line to the essence of the worm logo, which was setting, like, that set the aesthetics of space age design.
That's pretty fair. That's pretty fair.
And it's still, 40 years later, looks futuristic. It's bold. It's got these great colors to it, that bright red. All of the other, you know, the blues that they used in that era were amazing. I feel like it captured NASA in a way that the meatball never did. Like, it's the meatball is only good for nostalgia. It is not objectively a good logo.
I'll give it that. Yeah,
there's so much going on.
The meatball has that kind of classic look, right? And it speaks. And I will also, so I'll push back a little bit. The meatball has also defined quite a few space themed imagery through the
but
years,
but only
as well.
Because it's been there.
Case
not
in point,
not like, because yeah,
not too far off from the Canadian meatball here, right?
But it's only defined an aesthetic because it's been there and because it was there during the Apollo time.
Mm-hmm.
But the worm, before it ever launched to space, because it didn't launch to space until, you know, a couple years after it was completed, before it even hit a spacecraft, immediately defined an aesthetic of design for space.
Yeah.
And it's just perfect. And it still looks futuristic today.
Yeah, if you were like, I'm sure that if we had like a design professional on this show, they would very squarely be on your side. Like,
I'm sorry. Like, am I not a design professional, Jake? Am I not enough of a professional for you?
But like, you know, like there's like all of the best practices and the rules and the what, and especially because it wasn't just a logo either. It was like a whole design system, right? There's a book over there that probably talks a little bit about it. But it was about typeface, and it was about margins, and it was about whites and blacks and grays and how you use them all together, and this whole system of how to make something look like NASA. And that's why it's so special. That's why you can't, it's like hard to hate the worm, even if you're like a super tribal meatball guy, because it's like, it's a pretty good little package.
Totally. But I also think that the flipping back to the meatball is the most NASA thing that has ever happened. It's like backwards looking, really uninspiring decision, and like such a decision that was made by a group full of like a room full of people that didn't have any interest in the actual missions going on day to day.
So when did that happen? That was in
92.
Okay. That was a while ago.
It was a long time ago.
The story, was it you that sent the story? I can't even remember now. I read it now recently about how they eradicated it.
Yeah, Golden.
Golden.
Administrator was like, Golden was like, get this out. And was angry like about anything. If he saw a worm, he would like roid rage is the essence of that story. He would personally remove it.
It's a pretty interesting thing. So,
and it is still up there on the Hubble.
It is, yeah.
I would hope that the day that Starship captures Hubble, there is a worm on Starship. That's what I hope. Just to bring it full circle, like, yeah. Hubble essentially missed the meatball era.
Meatball V2 era.
Yeah, it just totally. Well, I guess it didn't, because the shuttle been there a couple times with the meatball on it.
That's fair. Yeah, but the shuttles never had meatballs on them, did they?
Well, after 92, they did.
Did they?
Yeah. What do you think? They kept the worm. You just said Golden went through and ripped everyone's face off.
Yeah, but like it was
had it on the wing.
Like it wasn't like a sticker on the side of the damn thing. Like it was like that's a whole paint job, and that's like expensive, right?
Hmm. Well, yes, because it was also space shuttle.
Yeah. Okay.
So I think that if, regardless of how this year is going to go for JB, I think JB should go full Bolden. I mean, Bolden. God, I can't get over Bolden. Golden. My two least favorite administrators, Bolden and Golden. I think he should go full Golden and eradicate the meatball, regardless, whether he's administrator a year from now or not.
Yeah. You know, and so one of the things that like really connects me to meatball too is the vertical assembly building, because like that is such a classic, like just enormous meatball, like just the biggest meatball ever. This episode's going to sound really strange out of context. Just giant meatballs. But yeah, so like that really connects me. But then I'm thinking about it too, and the worm would look pretty good up there with the black, white, and red too.
It would look amazing. Yeah. So here's the one thing about NASA. They have a lot of logos. And I think I want to just give some shout outs to a couple other of the logos that are related to NASA that I think are pretty great. Particularly if you go to see any of the old school planes that NASA flies. Old tail art is a different style altogether.
I thought you'd bring this up.
Yeah, because I love me some tail art. Let's look at this one here.
I'm surprised you're not wearing that shirt.
I was thinking about putting that one on. I don't know why I didn't. I should have. So check this one out here. This tail art is, it's very utilitarian. You know, it's like, it's definitely more Air Force inspired than anything.
Yeah.
But it looks so good on these tails. Much better than today on the tails. There's kind of this like stripped down meatball, right? It's just kind of got the red swoosh. I think there was a picture of it on this page somewhere. The NASA tail art. Let's look at it. Because there's this like meatball without the ball that exists on their, I think it's on their F-15. This is what I find amazing about NASA, though, is that they have so many different varieties of logos that they use. Yeah, here you go. So there's this like meatball without the ball.
Inverted meatball.
Right? That's weird. That one looks even worse.
Yeah, that one's not great. I'm not into that. It would have been better if they just put the real meatball on there.
Yeah, and I think the other cool part that people are mentioning in the chat here is that the tail art with the yellow stripe is kind of NACA inspired. It's using that NACA color, which is their predecessor, which might get us into our next topic, which NACA has a terrible, terrible logo.
I don't think I've ever seen it.
This is the NACA logo.
Okay.
Like, what is this?
And we should say, so if you're listening to this show as a podcast and not as a video,
you are not getting the full experience.
And you're like, what the hell is this podcast? We're going to try and put the album art on the phone. So look at your phone as we're saying these. We'll try and put these pictures up on your phone so you can look at them along with us. Anyway, continue.
Well, I get the basics of this, right? Like the shield and the wings and everything. And then they had this cute version where they had a logo that had the shield separate from the wings because the AC could be taken out and turned to the AS. It's just terrible. Terrible typography. Which is weird, because I feel like that era, historically, was a very good era for logos. The early aeronautics era had a lot of that like retro, kind of hand-drawn logo vibes.
Yeah.
Real quick, this is Anthony here from the future. I wanted to drop this in because as I was editing this episode, I realized how much mayhem it would be to have album art mapped to each one of these logos. So instead, what I did was put together a new little page for you. If you go over to notes.offnominal.space, notes.offnominal.space, there will be a page there for this episode. On it, it will have every logo that we talked about so that you could see it in all of its glory. And just scroll through the page and partake in the fun with us, because this is a very visual episode. So please head over there, notes.offnominal.space. Follow along if you want, or take a cruise through it later to see how well we did describing these logos. Okay, back to the show. So before we get into specifics, though, I'd love to get your take on logos in space generally, both like organizations, governmental organizations, companies. Where are you at with the state of space logos?
So I did a whole bunch of research on this, and I say a whole bunch of research, but I Googled a lot of pictures and looked at them. That was my research. But one of the things that I kind of noticed is like, there's, as like time progressed, you'd have like these like innovative logos kind of pop up and it'd be like, oh, cool. This is interesting. And then they like slowly transform over time. And the longer like an organization has been around or like a mission has been around, the like worse it gets. And it's because it's like, especially with all these big companies that are merging.
It's the mergers. Like, the mergers just like, ruin it.
You have to like, okay, I got this good logo and this good logo and I have to make them into one. But the only way that I can like make, I can reconcile like 15 mergers over 50 years is like, just kind of a slanty font with some angled lines, and that's like that's all you can really, that's the only thing that harmonizes all of it. And so like now if you look at all these like really old ones, Northrop, Lockheed, Boeing, they're just like they're just boring, they're just awful.
Yeah, it's especially depressing as you look at the earlier logos, like you're saying, and they're really good, and then you can just see the corporatism that mines out all of the good stuff of each logo, and it, like,
yeah,
it's exactly, like, oh, we'll take this streak from that logo and then this one from that logo and we'll jam them together and see what happens. And it's just like, oh man, this is terrible. So
I'm getting called out for calling out Boeing, but I maintain that it is not good because it's just like it's got this like muted McDonnell Douglas globe and like the old Boeing word. It's just like it's not original at all. It's, I don't know. So,
and I'm sure these will come up in our conversations.
Yeah, probably.
So what our shtick was here, we've settled now that the worm is the greatest logo that there ever was. Jake doesn't care enough to fight me on it. Worm forever.
That's a good ad.
Oh, one more thing on the worm. If you notice, like, if you look at mission patches, I think that's a good designation to look at for, like, how logos are used. The meatball's not going to appear on mission patches.
No.
It's too much.
And I can speak about this from experience because I made a mission patch for We Martians and, you know, sneak peek, the second one's coming soon. There are severe restrictions on what you can put onto a mission patch because of like the technological restriction of a sewing needle, I guess is what it is.
Yeah, no, just general like state of physics and how big things can be.
Yeah, worm all the way for mission patch. There's no contest there. You'll never get all the little stars and that fine line of the swoosh and the serif on the NASA font and the all that stuff would not work.
It's just too much complexity jammed into it. And the NASA worm itself can be put anywhere. It can survive anywhere. And I do think that's what makes it great, in particular for space usage, not just like as a logo, but particularly the way that NASA would need to use this thing. The worm would hold up so much better than the meatball. The meatball needs just space to live.
Yeah.
The worm can just be jammed on any component of a spacecraft and hold up really well.
It's also more modern with like current design trends, which is not really how you want to design a logo for a long-lasting institution, but like it came around again, you know, so like that sort of minimalist clean line kind of almost blocky you know shapes and stuff is very in today again, right?
That's so. What I'm saying, man, it defined an era of design. It really did. And it pairs really well with other typefaces.
Yeah, it does,
you can put the worm with like any. I mean, you're supposed to put it with the Helvetica, but you can't put it with.
Can
a lot
we
of
just
stuff.
Say to any of the other companies that think it's cool to just take the NASA worm font and just write anything with it?
Yeah,
including NASA. I've seen you do this, NASA. You can't just extend your font to whatever you want. Stop it. Oh,
people are doing it in the Discord.
Someone's
chat.
Doing the Discord with the off nominal logo. Like that's look at that M.
Yeah, stop that. Stop that.
I just threw up a little bit in my mouth. So yeah, no, I saw a logo for. For Perseverance written in it, Mars 2020 rover. I'm like, no, stop.
It's too many letters,
it's
first
brutal.
Of all.
Yeah, it's just like, Perseverance. It sucks. Anyway, okay, that's my rant over.
Okay, so what we thought would be fun is to take a walk through our favorite / best and, of course, the worst logos in the space realm today. I didn't constrain this too much when I was thinking about it. I thought, you could leave it open, whether you mean companies, government organizations, missions themselves, whether programs have logos. Pretty wide-ranging here. Historic, current, whatever you want. And we're going to go through some of these. Because there's a lot of good ones, there's a lot of bad ones, and there's a lot... My general take on the world of space logos is, like, most of it's just boring. It's all just the same and boring and uninspiring.
You should see this list of stuff I made where I went down, like, lists of them and just wrote like one word of my opinion on it to remind myself.
I can't wait for you to read that list from start to finish.
There's a lot of like meh.
That's how I feel about a lot of it. It's like, you know, they took this general inspiration that's similar to what everyone else did and it's could be any company in there.
Yeah. Yeah.
So where do you want to start? You want to start on bad or good?
Okay, well, let me just, so I'll just say when I went through, I started with bad and good, and where I ended up was like themes that I liked and themes that I didn't like. And so I don't know if I necessarily fit your format that you decided for us, but
This is very loose formatting. Come on.
Yeah, we're not good at this.
Even I don't think I can rank like the number one logo. I have really good ones, and I have three terrible ones, and I can expound on them all individually.
Well, do you want to talk about like rockets first, like and those kind of companies and stuff?
Sure.
Let me dig into that.
Let's go.
You want to bring up your
what
favorite?
What you got? Me personally?
Atlas.
Oh, the old Atlas logo.
Classic Atlas logo.
Yeah. So I love this Atlas logo. I also am like, this Atlas logo.
Oh, so good.
I can't find a higher quality than this one for some reason. This high quality version of this does not exist on the internet. And this is still in use in some places.
Aren't they still sticking it on the sides of Atlas?
I think on the Atlas, yeah.
Yeah.
So there's got a couple launches left of this sucker. But it's been around since Atlas. You know, this was not like this is not specific to Atlas V or earlier than that. This was Atlas's logo. It was on buildings back in the day at the Cape. And it's got such a retro, like the typeface at the bottom, I think could be improved because it's pretty basic.
Yeah.
But the A itself with the kind of like sunset lines, the horizon lines. What do you love about this?
So I like, there's kind of like this old, I wish I was actually one of those design professionals I was talking about, because I don't know how to like articulate all these like feelings that I have about things. But there's this sort of like feeling from, I think it's like 50s, 60s, that is like very, you know, like it's like that Mad Men style marketing that kind of oozes from here to me. And that ended up being kind of timeless now. I mean, maybe it wasn't very cool in the 80s, but like that's come around again. And, you know, looking at old ads from the 60s, like feels really cool now. And this feels like it would stick right in there. Like, you know, some really inappropriate ad about rockets and, like, you know, it'd be like Atlas, a man's rocket. And like they'd have this logo stuck on it, you know, and like that's what this kind of feels to me. So that's kind of why I like it. It makes me think about Don Draper, but.
One of the strengths of logos through time is how well somebody could just draw it. Like, you couldn't you sketch this?
Yes.
Right. And this is why I hate the Blue Origin logo, the leaf, the feather. Like, that is not something I can sketch really easily on anything. And then their actual typeface.
You could fake it.
Yeah. I mean, you drew it pretty good on the last episode.
Do I still have that here somewhere? Maybe. I don't know.
But it's not a simple logo. It's not something that is like, you can't from your memory talk me through the feather, the shape of the feather, in the same way that you could with the NASA worm.
Yeah.
Right. And I feel like the simplicity of this Atlas logo or the NASA worm is very distinctive. And I love that.
Okay. That's an interesting take. Yeah.
One of my favorites from if we're doing good ones first.
Sure.
And I found a couple different varieties of this online is the Energia logo.
Oh, I haven't looked at this.
This thing is great. And I've seen this version, and I've seen this version on the building that's kind of more of an outline sort of situation. Sputnik inspired, right? Because this is the company in Russia that's done everything. They make Soyuz and R7 and everything you can name, pretty much.
Energia has done this. This is
Korolev's, you know, company, essentially.
Yeah. Okay.
So I don't know what they're currently using today. Maybe Flat Noise in the Discord chat can tell us what logo is in modern use here, but either one of these is just absolutely lovely.
I love the gradient.
Yeah, this one's really nice.
that's a story from my web development bootcamp. Our cohort ended up calling ourselves the Gradient Gang.
The Gradient Gang.
It was like a joke. One of us threw a gradient on some demo we were doing. And then from then on, every project had to have gradients. It was just gradients everywhere. So
fighting the last 10 years of design trends on the internet.
Yeah. that was the joke. Yeah.
I just love this for like, if I showed you this, you would probably guess correctly who this was because of the Sputnik inspired aesthetic. Mm-hmm. Like there's definitely historical ties to this. That I love because it's got the speed thing going, it's got the Sputnik thing going, and of all of the generic logos out there that are just circles, this is probably the best one.
Now I'm thinking, I think I have some good circle ones coming up. We'll see. Can you bring up Vulcan? I actually like Vulcan a lot.
Vulcan
rocket.
Oh, the what is
the ULA Vulcan?
Oh, the V with the the V with the thing.
I kind of like this a lot. I don't know what you think about this one. Yeah, I mean it's obviously a very modern logo because it got invented 25 minutes ago or whatever. But no, I kind of like it. It's simple. It's the good colors. It's good, straightforward. I kind
of
like it.
It's cool. It's not my. It's not my favorite of the ones with flames on them. For sure.
Not my favorite of the ones with flames on.
Well, yeah, okay, I mean, like, right. Okay, so if we're doing the flame, are they Firefly.com? Firefly's logo. Mm-hmm. Right. This is not on my list of favorites, but this was high up there. They got that nice actual Firefly of a bug, and then they've got the flames out its butt, essentially. And I like the way that these flames are integrated here, whereas in the Vulcan one, it's just kind of like fire, I guess.
I don't know. I think it's better than that.
I'm not super into it as a launch vehicle. Give it a little
more credit. Separate the launch vehicle from the logo, Anthony. You can do it.
No, I didn't mean like that. I didn't mean like that. Although they did get rid of the Evil Knievel livery that was going to fly with Vulcan.
Yes, that's right. Yeah,
blue stripes or whatever else they had on there. Yeah.
Stars and stripes. Yeah. Breaking the US flag code or whatever by printing it on something that isn't. Yeah.
We don't care about that. This was in your list though? This is like one of your favorite three?
I like Vulcan, yeah. I mean, I don't know. I don't know if it's favorite three. We're in the rocket world here. Yeah.
Can I tell you my favorite logo in the modern era?
Yeah.
Relativity. This is a brilliant logo. It shows that you can do a typographic logo alone really well. And specifically, it is Y Combinator fan service. Yes, that is correct, Radishes. But I love the V that finishes off in the dots of the eyes. I love that because it gives you that extruding, it's 3D printing, talking about extrusion, like that extruding from a single piece of material out into the dots and then the V itself. Lovely. Like this is one that you have a great typographic logo, but you can also just use that V. Because I think when you load their website, they do this whole like intro animation where you've got these dots that then go into the V, and I love that. So
you know why I think you like that logo based on what I know about you?
Oh, please tell me.
That font is like just so Anthony.
It is?
Yeah, it's just like that, it's like super clean, simple, heavy, bold, like modern.
I do love the R. Sans. I love an R that has that kind of the
longer.
Yeah, I love that
extended loop or whatever.
Oh yeah,
it is there.
I love that. I do kind of hate. I hate T's that are slanted like this.
Oh yeah.
Chase is gonna hate this episode, by the way. In particular.
He's definitely going to hate
it. Just want to give him a shout out because he's going to hate this episode. But I don't like tees that have this kind of slantiness. So, relativity, though. And I like this in particular because a lot of space companies today are solely going off typographic logos and they don't have a lot of like crests or things that you would see historically, or symbols or even anything like that. But this shows that you can do it really well while still working some sort of very recognizable symbol in. And I love that. And also, this proves my first hypothesis about Relativity, that they are a 3D printing company, not a launch company. They just currently happen to be making launch vehicles.
Yeah.
Because this is a 3D printing company logo.
100%.
Yes.
You should bring up Agile Space. I like this one a lot.
Yes. Yes.
Lars is going to be happy, but...
And this is specifically their newer logo.
Their new logo. And he suggested this in the chat,
That kind of work. We're going to just look at it on the website.
Yeah, he suggested that we look at this in the chat, and I'm glad he did because I was going to bring it up anyway, but I love it. The mock diamonds coming out of the A is perfect. It's great.
I do love the mock diamond itself as an element here is wonderful.
Yeah.
I think if Lars is listening, needs a little feedback. I do think somebody told him this when he was working on it or when they were working on it. Space Industries needs to come down and align with the bottom mock diamond.
Yeah, it totally does.
Just a little bit. That needs to be lined up. But like I do love the concept here. Yeah.
Yeah, lovely. That's a good one.
Again, a good way to work in notable visual elements into your logo, right? Very distinctive. It says
because
what they
that,
do.
The A with the mock diamonds by itself would be perfect on the side of a rocket.
Oh, yeah. Beautiful on the side of the rocket. Much better than the Omega logo.
I can't even think of what it is. What is the Omega logo?
Well, let's see.
If it just says Omega, I'm going
to... I love that this stream is just Anthony Googling things.
It's really good, yeah.
Did they get rid of the Omega logo? Did they scrub that? There it is.
It's gone.
It's similar to the Agile thing.
Oh, yeah, it
thing.
Is gone. Oh, I didn't even realize that. Lars, I can't believe you stole this from Omega.
But he did make it way better.
He did make it better.
Yeah. I don't know if he personally did this. Yes.
I'd like to just pretend that Lars did everything. Agile space. So.
Okay, so my last on my list of best is a historic one. It is North American Aviation.
Wow.
This is a downright lovely logo that I am so sad went away. Again, through what you were saying, the series of mergers that took all the good stuff out of everything. This was an innocent bystander to that got taken out unfairly. Because this is just like, there's so much in this. The eagle, the nice, you know, the delta shape that is used frequently in branding for aerospace companies. God, there's just so much here that I love. And this eventually became North American Rockwell and yada yada on through history. But North American, you know, they were around using this logo when they did X-15. They did both of the Little Joes. They did the Apollo CSM, obviously. They got a lot of flack for Apollo 1. They did the S-2 on Saturn V, all under this logo. And then post-merger with Rockwell, they were the primary shuttle contractor.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of good history here for historically this logo.
Yeah.
And as a notable, they were the ones that rolled off Rocketdyne originally. So if you look at the original Rocketdyne logo, also a pretty good logo back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
Very old school. This very simple R. What do you think about this one?
I kind of like it. Yeah, it's got a little bit of that like Atlas feel to it.
Yeah, it's definitely, you know, it, of that era.
It also kind of looks a lot like it's got a little bit of old Soviet feel to it too, though, which is kind of weird. You know,
the slanted lines to it, very
yeah. Huh.
I don't know. I feel weird that the I don't know what this is. Is it a rocket? Is it the nose cone of a ballistic missile that is splitting the R in half? Is like, I don't know. It's very strange. But we did, you know, in the realm of North American Aviation, Rockwell International's logo is also a classic.
Mm-hmm.
This is a great one. That's not it. Where's the real one?
That's not it?
That's close. The font was a little wonky on that first picture I pulled up. But yeah, that's a classic one as well. And then this was the logo that North American Rockwell got stuck under for the shuttle era.
Right.
It's a good one.
Yeah, I like it too.
All right, let's talk about, you got any good ones left, or is it time to rip into these bad ones? Because I got some good ones.
Well, yeah, if we want to talk about bad rocket stuff, I have some planetary stuff too to talk about.
Oh, let's hit it up.
Some good stuff, yeah. If we're going to stay on good ones. So just precursor. A lot of the planetary mission logos, not that great. Just
general rule of thumb, generally. Yes.
Yeah, and there's like, I'm looking at these, there's like this like kind of like classical era of planetary mission, and most of them were like kind of a patch design, like a crest design rather than like a logo. But from like, I don't know, 80s to like 2010, it was like all the same. It was like the same thing. It was like you get a picture of the spacecraft, a real picture of the planet behind it, and then like text around the outside. That was like, that's like how you do it. They were all like that, and they were not good. But there were some good ones. So can you bring up the, and when Spirit was stuck in the sand, JPL made a free Spirit logo for like a website about like recovering the mission. That's really cool. And I wanted to bring this up. You said go wide. I'm going wide here. So I think you just Google free Spirit.
Is it this one that kind of has
It's like a square, red, yellow, and...
Is it this thing?
Yeah. I like this a lot. I'm really into this. So yeah, this is like JPL's like campaign to like drum up morale or whatever when the mission was on the rocks.
Spirit.
Isn't that great? It's like
the terminology is funny on several levels, which is the best part about it.
Yeah, totally. So this is one that like really stuck out to me as something that was a good logo.
They lose points for using Arial because it's just like they just opened it was the default font and whatever they opened, you know? They lose points on that. It doesn't feel considered, but I do like I do love the shadow usage.
Yeah.
It's wonderful there.
Yeah, it's really good. And just the clean like the clean color contrast too is good.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that was really good. I also like the Juno mission.
The logo. Geno mission.
Juno.
Oh, Juno. I thought you said the Geno mission. I was like, Geno from South Philly? Who?
No, Juno. Because it's a newer one, right? And so it's like, again, one of those, it's our style, this kind of clean lines, right?
You're going to have to, oh.
It's not that's a mission nice. Patch, it's like a logo, right? Yeah,
that's one. Nice.
It's pretty good, right?
That's really nice.
So you got this nice, like the orbit band across Jupiter there. It's like three things to me. It's like, it could be the red storm and like a cloud band. It could be the Juno
the red storm, you know, the famous red storm of Jupiter.
The big red storm. What is it called? I don't know.
Great red spot. The red storm.
I'm a rocky planet guy. Okay.
That's wonderful.
It could be like a Juno Perigeo dive, right? It's like the point of close approach. And it could also just be one of the moons of Jupiter too. So there's so much going on in there that it's like, but very simple, just a line and a circle. So,
and then Juno has the benefit of being a really distinctive spacecraft with the three solar panel arrangement. So yeah, I'm with you on this. This actually didn't cross my mind, but this would make my favorite list for sure.
Yeah. And then I think what is my absolute favorite planetary mission logo is the InSight one. So if you bring this up, this is like the really simple, good color usage. It is, that first one there. Really great.
Looks a little bit too much like some sort of enterprise software to me.
Enterprise software. Oh, man.
Yeah, I don't know, but I mean,
it's such a geophysical thing, though. That's why I think I like it.
It's very on... Clearly
it's on brand.
Not I don't want to say on brand. It describes to you what the mission is doing, which I like. Because not a lot do that, you know? Without like a fully featured picture of here's the rover walking across the surface. Like
all this, the other bad ones where it's just like
right, like most need to use an actual picture to show what they're doing, and this really gets the point across without any of that.
Yeah.
Are we doing honorable mentions before we get into the bad ones?
Honorable mention.
Because I got some good ones.
So I'll give you one first. This is kind of boring honorable mention, but so ESA does logos for their missions, but they're like all, it's all the same style. So it's like a common brand for planetary missions. So if you just bring up, I don't know, look up, I think Rosetta did it, Cassini did it, Mars Express, and it's like this kind of red spacecraft on a gray background. With the ESA typography.
I've got just the spacecraft here.
Yeah, so that's the Rosetta one. So they do this for almost all of them. And I kind of like this too, because it's like, I like the white outline of the spacecraft. I don't know.
That
really,
thick line.
I dig it, yeah. So.
What other missions do you say?
You can look up Cassini Huygens.
You just want me to spell Huygens? Sure. Did I get it right?
Yeah, you did, yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
So oh, that's a good one. Never seen that one.
It's pretty hot.
That's a nice one. I don't know what's happening there with that image.
But yeah, that's a good one.
That's a nice one.
So they kind of do that for all of them. So it's like common branding for their planetary missions.
I think I've seen the ExoMars one, and I was like, meh. That one's not super great. Because there's too much. There's a lot of things
too
going
many.
On.
They're doing all three there. They should have just done one at a time. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's kind of my honorable mention for planetary missions.
Do you have any favorite mission patches in the design aesthetic? Not just like any old mission patch, but in particular, like well-designed ones?
Mission patches? I'm looking at my notes. I actually like STS-38.
That is not very what I expected.
Very specific.
STS-38.
I looked at all of the shuttle patches, and this is the one I
liked. That's a whole thing going on there.
This is like one of those classified DoD
missions.
Is it
this one?
Yeah. I like that one. It's nice and simple. The shuttle patches, like they're all just so much going on in them.
Yeah.
And this is this is one where they just kind of eased off and said, well, you know what? It's a DoD mission. We can't actually put any details on it. So just put the shuttle and some nice lines.
It always makes you wonder, like, what were they doing on this one? You know?
What were they doing?
What were they doing there?
Why is it upside down? What's going on there?
Here's the best mission patch. Gemini 7.
Wow.
That one's great.
I did not go far enough back to find these. I didn't look at Gemini.
Gemini 7 is one of the best because it's got this great, like, the story behind it was that they were envisioning this to be a marathon length mission, right? This was the really long duration Gemini mission. And so they used this Olympic torch. And then there was kind of, to me, like, in retrospect, now that we know what happened with Gemini 6 and 7, where they were the rendezvous missions, kind of had this passing the torch thing that worked. On a different level. They weren't expecting that to work, but it did work.
Yeah.
And I just love this overall look here. It's great.
That is a good one.
Great one.
If you want to look at a funny one that I think is really funny, Apollo 10. And I'll tell you why I think it's funny if you bring up Apollo 10.
It's very involved. It's one of the most involved Apollo ones.
It is.
Okay, please explain to us what is funny about this.
To me, this one looks like someone got a new computer at NASA to do 3D graphics, and they were like, 3D graphics, look at this! Oh, yeah! We're going to make this 10, and it's going to be in perspective mode, and it's like a blocky, like, oh, man, computers are cool! That's what this mission patch says to me.
Yeah, I've never spent a lot of time looking at it. To me, it was more like somebody was playing a lot of like tabletop football and kicking field goals. I don't. You probably don't know what tabletop football is.
Like foosball?
Whatever. Never mind. Paper football. You ever have paper football?
No.
No? Okay.
I can tell you all about ball hockey.
Never mind.
About...
Never mind. Somebody out there enjoyed it. Mm-hmm. All right, Jake.
All right. Bad ones?
Let's get into the bad ones.
Bad ones?
Yeah. I got some bad ones.
Yeah, you go first. I just talked for a whole bunch of planetary shit.
Okay. There are different categories of bad. And two of mine, one of mine is historic and has been corrected a little bit since. Two of mine are what we were talking about earlier in the category of mergers in which made terrible logos. And one of the worst has to be Aerojet Rocketdyne. This is a horrible, horrible logo on so many levels. Number one, why is there the classic red triangle thingy in the A? Why does that exist?
It's a common theme because it's also at the top of the whatever.
And yes, moving over to the right side, why is the blue swoosh so curly? What is that? What is this blue swoosh?
This is exactly what I was talking about. You'd have slanty words and lines. That's all you can do with these old space companies. Right?
Like the red triangle on the blue swoosh with the completely uninspiring black text is just horribly uninspiring and not like. If you said, oh, that's the company that made, you know, this company made great rocket engines, you'd be like, wow. And it just looks like a company full of lawyers. This is a terrible, terrible logo.
Well, I mean, just bring up Lockheed, Northrop, and Boeing, and you put it all in a quad, and it's the exact same story. Like, this is, I don't know if everyone's really thought about this, but this is, they're all the same logo.
There's a reason that the Stark Industries logo is the way that it was in Iron Man. Because they're all the same.
Yeah. Slanty text.
Except for, Jake.
Angled lines.
Except for the modern day Northrop Grumman logo. makes me so angry on so many levels. This was number two on my list of bad logos. Because this is not only the worst of what we were just talking about with these mergers that just take all of the personality of great logos and completely strip them. Because do you know, looking at this logo, what the historic Northrop and Grumman logos look like? They are downright whimsical, if I must say. Look at this Northrop logo. Okay? Look at this Northrop logo. Like, you know what era that came out.
Yep.
Okay. Look at this Grumman logo. What were they? Grumman aircraft, right? Look at this Grumman logo.
Grumman, like, helicopters.
Logo. Like, look at these crazy logos that Grumman had going on. And then you get to Northrop Grumman. Plain Futura with a right angle. That is just, it makes me so mad because there's a branding company out there that got paid untold millions of dollars for this logo.
A lot of money.
And it's so generic. Like, that could say any words, and I would believe that that's the company's logo. There's nothing unique about it. It's terrible. It's terrible. Horrible. Anyway, so that was, all right. I'm angry, Jake.
Yeah.
Do you want to see the worst logo in space?
Let's do it.
You know what? Let's build up to that one, because there's nothing that can beat it. There's nothing that can beat it.
Well, I'll give you a run for your money here. You want to look up a bad planetary one?
Yeah, sure do.
Look up the Dawn mission patch.
I don't even know if I could describe to you in words what the Dawn mission patch is.
It should be like, it's like the, with, you know, series in the background with the orange border.
I see it.
Okay, bring this up like full screen. We need to just bask in how bad this is. Okay, so... First of all, like I talked about how this is like the style, right? This is like what you did for mission patches for a long time. Spacecraft, the planets is exploring behind it, text around the outside. But there are still things in your control. And like,
I keep looking at new elements as you're describing this and it gets better.
Okay, so what is with this orange color that like doesn't match anything else in it? And this is coming from a guy who has a blue and orange logo. Like, they can be complementary colors, but this is not it. Like, this, like, the blue border is, like, this, like, pastel kind of, like, baby blue, and then it's just, like, full orange. So I don't know what's going on there. So the color's not good. The second thing, the text on the outside needs some breathing room. Like, it is, like, squeezed right up against the outside, but it's not consistent either. So, like, look at the bottom. Look at, like, where it says DLR. The D is like encroaching.
Yeah, what's going on there?
And then, but if you scroll over to the right,
why is it tilted like that?
I don't know. And if you scroll over to the right, like INAF and LANL, they have space above them. So like, it's not even a consistent like line spacing that's going. I don't know what. It's brutal. And then,
wow, look, this is distinctly terrible.
Look at the Dawn text. Look at the A and the W. Like, they're just tilted, like, against each other somehow. It's just, it's brutal, man. It's, like, the worst.
Wow.
This is so bad. Like, I'm sorry, Don, you were a cool mission, but this is a really bad mission match.
This is horrible.
Yeah.
Nothing is worse than Vesta too. And Ceres in text.
Curved around.
Yeah.
With Microsoft Word, Word art, PowerPoint Word art
and
going on there.
And here's another layer to look at. Vesta has a lot of detail on the patch. And then Ceres is blurry.
Ceres has like shadowing behind it.
Text but shadow. It's also blurry. Like, yeah,
that's because that's the best we had of that, right?
Well, then why not make them both a little blurry? Like, this is hilarious, actually.
It's awful. It's really bad. So that's my worst.
Wow, that's a good one, man.
That's like the worst
one that I
found.
How did you even, was this in your head? Like, were you disturbed by this and this is what you've been thinking about?
Well, no, I was chasing down that theme. I'm like, are all the planetary mission patches the same? It's just spacecraft with the planets and the circle and the text. And I was like going through them all, trying to like see if that was a theme. And this popped up on my screen. I was like, oh my God, what's
that? That is a terrible one.
So, yeah. But there's like a whole,
because that's not only bad in concept, it is bad in execution.
Yeah.
Right? It's bad in both. Because even I could admit that the Northrop Grumman logo is a well-executed bad logo. Whereas this is a badly theorized, badly executed mission patch.
Yeah.
That's great, man.
So I have a couple of weird ones that aren't necessarily bad. So, do you want to save those till after bad? Weirdos?
Yeah, we'll do weirdos later.
Okay, all right. So hit me with your worst then.
Okay.
All right,
Please prepare for this.
I got a full beer.
Do you remember the dot-com boom?
Sure.
Just in concept?
Yeah, of course.
Do you remember what the internet looked like back then?
Like Web 2.0 stuff?
No, this was pre 2.0. This was Web 1.0.
Like GeoCities?
Like, yeah, pets.com. Right, original internet.
Internet Explorer versus Netscape?
Yes.
Okay.
Would you believe me that Ariane Space came out of the dot-com boom? This is a horrible logo. Now, they have since rebranded. They have since rebranded, and it's like a flat design kind of thing. This is hilariously bad because there's so many things in here, Jake. This is another one that is so dense. Much like the Dawn mission patch, there are so many things wrong with this logo that it beggars belief. Number one,
the marquee text?
I know you love gradients, but there's gradients everywhere in here. Not only on the circle, on the arrow, on the orbit, there's too many gradients.
There's linear gradients and circular gradients in this.
And circular gradients on a line. This the orbit has a circular gradient.
I didn't even notice that.
It's several levels deep here.
This is a tour de force of gradients.
then there's these competing bad typefaces. There's two bad typefaces here. There's the Ariane Space one, and then Service and Solutions, which is a rounded version of the bad typeface that is in the primary logo. Both custom and terrible. And then there is the arrow. With a huge drop shadow that is like, that is an internet arrow. That is not an aerospace arrow. That is a Netscape Navigator arrow.
Yeah.
Why is it an arrow? An actual arrow. Not a pointy thing. An actual arrow.
I'm pretty sure that's like a PowerPoint arrow.
But then whoever did the Dawn mission patch was brought in to skew them. We really like what you did with screwing up that type. Could you please work this arrow to be shooting over the top of this globe?
You know what bothers me the most about this is the on the service and solutions part, there's like the R and the N have like the indent at the joint, and it makes it too thin.
It almost goes past the level of the R itself.
Yeah.
This is terrible.
Not good.
And they used this up until like 2012 or something, I want to say. Like very recently. Horrible logo.
Huh. Okay.
Yeah, I don't know. I just always thought of this logo as this horrible logo. I don't even know what to say about it, quite honestly. It's bad. It's a bad logo.
All right, you got any weird ones?
Well, this one's kind of weird, but I do want to shout it out. The Noah crest is quite wonderful. Like the Noah crest itself?
It is pretty good, isn't it?
As far as government agencies that are all some level of boring crest, Noah is good because it's got that thing that good logos have where there's like several components to it that work on different levels. So you've got the waves on the light blue, but then it makes the bird, and it's got that kind of... I don't care for the text too much on this, but I do like the blue and the white crest usage here.
Yeah, it's good.
So, that's a good one.
I'm into that.
And then the weird ones that I would like to shout out is every mission patch from an NRO mission, just generally.
Oh, yeah. You got to show a few of them. They're so good.
All right. Give me your favorites.
Well, I don't know the numbers, but there's the witch lady with the trident or whatever it is. You have to just Google NRO.
I'm just going to pull up the entire page of these because they're all incredible.
Oh, look at them. Oh, so good. So that top one, 35.
Enroll 35.
Some sort of witch with a trident.
Yeah, what does she have like a piece of the sun in her hand?
Who knows, man? Who knows?
Enroll 39 is a classic. Nothing is beyond our reach with the octopus eating the earth.
There's like the dwarf one, like with the hammer and stuff. I don't know if it's a dwarf. My D&D's coming out there, but it's like
a that's a whole thing. Wait,
down there.
Oh, this guy here.
Yeah, yeah.
That's a tiny one.
Tiny resolution.
Oh, the knight. I do like the knight.
The knight's a good one. Yeah.
The knight's a good one. This some sort of like Athena, I would say.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Great one. Apparently, is this like Lewis and Clark? Who are these two gentlemen?
I don't know. That's an American thing, maybe.
And then you've got this one here, this the lizard riding. Guy? Yeah.
Yeah, it's like these are all just like, I don't know. It must be so fun to work in this marketing office because it's just like, okay, we need another NRO patch. It's like, what are the requirements? Doesn't matter. We can't tell you anything about the mission. Just have fun. Just like, and there's just like, there's very clearly some Dungeons and Dragons nerd at a design office.
Creating
like,
characters.
I have the best job in the entire planet. I just draw up D&D characters and sell them to the Department of Defense for like thousands and thousands of dollars. Like, it's great.
I also think that there's an element of it that is playing with us, right? The people that are going to look at the mission patches and go, what could they possibly mean? This octopus is eating the earth. Nothing is beyond our reach. No. Like, it means so much. And it's probably has nothing to do with the mission. Nothing. It's not even a hint. So I do like that element that they're clearly playing with us.
Yeah.
To some level.
Totally. Pull up Mars Phoenix. Have you ever looked at this logo? Mars
Phoenix. I don't think so. It's been a, can you remind me of Phoenix?
So this is 2007, went to Mars, polar lander, didn't last very long because a polar winter on Mars is a heck of a thing. But they went kind of all
is it the one that I'm thinking of?
It's like a swooshy
it's
Phoenix.
The one I think it is?
It's
a little bit Firefox logo.
Yeah, it's totally Firefox. So there's a lot going on in this logo. But so the swooshy Firefox in the middle with like all these kind of things, I kind of like that. I think that's like the strong suit of this logo. But what is going on with the font? Like this is like the most 2005, 2007, I don't know. There's like something going on.
No,
like
it's even more than that. It's a little bit like you're 7 years old and you're now into death metal and you think you can draw death metal logos.
Or like you're 7 years old and dad just taught you that you can change the font in Microsoft Word.
For your death metal band.
For your death metal band. So yeah, there's like a lot going on with this. I don't know, just like brutal font. So
it's even made better by the fact that the entire thing is ringed with the most boring serif font I've ever seen in my life. That has like an entire paragraph of people that worked on this mission. It's so pedestrian on the outside and then mayhem in the middle.
Yeah, it just goes mental in the middle. Like I just don't even know what to say about it. So
that's a good one.
Yeah, I like that one a lot.
Now, is this another one that has always been in your head, or through all your Mars research, you've kind of
that one I have seen before, and I was like, that's weird, but
that's a great one.
Yeah. So I don't know. It's super interesting. The Mars 2020 logo is also kind of bizarre. I don't like it. There's like too much going on with it.
And this is, you're saying, I see a couple here. You're going to have to direct me on which one it is.
It's got the 20 and the 20 in it.
Is it this one or is it this thing?
First, yeah, that one.
This? That's a tiny one. We need a bigger.
Yeah. There's like, it's too much going on there. Like it's almost good, but they're like, okay, you got to use
confused by this.
You got to use the twos and the zeros and you got to, everything has to be linked. Right. So
I think my favorite is that it just says prepare for humans.
Yeah. The strap on goal so that it's relevant to the rest of the agency. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. The fact that I think it's the tone of voice that these three directives are written. Prepare for humans, collect rock samples, seek past life. It's not, just feels like it's directing Mars to prepare for humans. And I don't know, I don't know how to read this. Like,
be prepared.
It sounds a little bit like the We're loading coming. Screen of SimCity, like reticulating splines, preparing for humans.
Reticulating splines.
Is this not a thing that you do?
No, it's 100%. Okay. Was living in the back of my memory and you just excavated it and I was not prepared for it.
I do like on this, there are some good elements, I will say. I like the, what is the proper terminology for the mast? The mast cam.
Yeah, the mast head or the mast
cam?
Yeah.
I do like that the mast head is there with Mars as the lens.
As the lens, yeah.
That's nice.
It's pretty cool.
There's something here to work with, I think.
Yeah. As they, it was, it's like almost good.
I think if they took off the outside, I might be into it.
It's a little like
the patch designer took some LSD and drew up Mars 2020 logo, but I like the basic elements here.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm into it.
Cool.
Well, I don't know. You got a lot less on your list over there?
That's mostly it. I mean, we could talk about logos for hours and hours and hours, and we're missing a
whole bunch. I would like to do one more segment before we're done here with logos.
Okay.
I would like you to read your list with the single word that you applied to each logo.
Okay, well, I only did it for Apollo, but I can definitely do that for you.
Yeah, I would like that.
So Apollo 7. Oh, I'm getting a delivery here. Thank you. I got ice cream delivered.
Wow.
If anyone's on the fence about getting married,
you haven't gotten any.
You should get it.
Any deliveries?
ice cream and beer. Okay, so I did Apollo. Okay, we'll start with 7. You ready? Okay, 7 is meh. Are you going to bring these up as we go through them?
Oh, you want me to? I thought this would be like a lightning round.
Is there one you can bring up all of them at once and then we can...
So you did these for the mission patches?
Yeah, for the Apollo mission patches, starting with 7.
Okay. I think this image will do.
Okay, let's see it. Yeah, perfect. Okay. Okay, I didn't do Apollo 1.
We don't need to do Apollo 1.
I don't want to make any jokes about Apollo 1. Apollo 7, so the second one in the top left there. So, meh. Apollo 8, I got 3 check marks.
Yes. Apollo 8's great.
It's great.
Fantastic.
You took one good idea, the 8.
Yep.
You did it, and you didn't waste any other time.
Perfect. I think, now, here's my one critique, is I think this is one that should have had no crew member names.
Mm-hmm.
I think this one should have been a plain one. Yep, totally.
Yeah. 9, meh. 10 is all caps, 3D graphics, !! 1. Apollo 11 is classic.
Yeah.
12, the ship.
12 really nails the...
And perfect for
the personality of Apollo 12, yeah, totally.
Laugh out loud. 13, epic, I think is probably the most epic.
I would have went with Tom Hanks, because all picture is him in that, he had that back, like the realistic background on, was that Apollo 13? Like, he was in that like physical set, right? On that show?
Mm.
From the Earth to the Moon. Yes, thank you, Malcolm. That was the show that had him on the physical set. Like, there was almost this section of the show that was... not the drama, but it was like this kind of exposition on
right
on the show in general. And he had the horses behind him, I think, on that episode. Maybe I'm just imagining this, but I thought he had a physical set of those horses.
Hmm.
Yeah.
I don't remember that.
It's crazy.
Now I need to watch it again.
Malcolm says I'm right, so I'm going with it.
Tough for me. I got to watch it again. All right.
We'll have to get him on the show to talk about it.
Yeah.
I think he's recovered at this point.
14, meh.
Yeah.
15, meh.
None of them are good, other than 11 and 8.
Boring, 16. And maybe this is offensive to Americans, but the eagle thing is played out, guys. You gotta move on. And 17 was, okay, I'm into it.
Apollo 17 is a little bit like the guy that designed stuff for the U.S. Postal Service got a hold of mission patches for a minute. Yeah, there's some weird aesthetics there.
Yeah, and you can really tell like how important the mission patches like are, how visible they got through time on there, where it's just like, oh shit, people are looking at these, and they had to just get like really more like more regal and important and all that kind of thing. So
I think in general the Gemini mission patches are way better across the board. They have a great program logo, the two with the two stars. They've got a couple of good ones in here. Gemini 7, we already talked about. Gemini 9 has what could be one of the coolest, with the docking with the Agena upper stage and the tether There's a lot going on there.
8 days are bust. It's
perfect. 8 days are bust. You like the Oregon Trail kind of reference there?
Man, P. Conrad was a gem. Like both of his mission patches were just like, ugh.
He's so strange.
So good. Yeah. The wagon, just like, he's like, no, we're putting a wagon. And like, they fought him on that too. He's like, no, we're putting a wagon on it.
He's so weird. Such a weirdo.
I only have one more thing to show before we're done.
Let's hear it.
Do you have anything else?
No, I'm all out.
Okay. We should go out then on Soviet propaganda posters.
Okay.
For space.
Okay.
Because they're just, I have no like particular favorite, but if you just like Google, there's some site that's got like 61 of the best space Soviet posters.
Is it 61? 61 sensational Soviet space posters?
Just scroll through this and we'll put this link in the show notes so that everyone can look at it after. But I am in love with the Soviet space propaganda. Oh. It is just one of my favorite design.
Who are these guys?
Who cares? I can't read it. I don't know who they are. I just like looking at it. Yeah, good. Someone put the link in the Discord so they can look too. But these are just...
Oh, nice.
These are just fantastic.
This is nice.
There's like something so timeless about these, like... I don't know. Because they're propaganda too, I think they have like...
Oh, really, this guy's the best.
There's such like a historical weight to these, you know?
Look at this guy throwing this rocket.
Yeah. And look, see, there's good use of orange and blue.
Right. Totally. Right there.
Dawn. Figure it out.
Wow. This is worth a scroll through for anyone just listening.
Really? Yeah. Like you need to click on this link. There's 61 posters. Oh, look at that. Valentina.
Wow. These are great.
They're so good. Gagarin. And I love how they like... They have all these pictures of the rockets, and they're not the actual rocket that they flew. Like,
I haven't seen one that is even a realistic thing at all.
That one looked kind of like a proton, I think, but like...
This guy here?
Yeah, I think that's a proton.
That is a little proton, and you can see the...
But like, a bunch of them are just like some made-up rocket that doesn't exist. And like, why wouldn't you put a picture... I guess they're kind of trying to hide what the design looks like, right?
Getting some comments in the Discord from our resident Russian here, Flatnoise, who said one of the posters just has text that says, there is no God.
There is no God.
Bow to your proton rocket.
They're so good though, right?
Yeah, these are pretty amazing. And like something that, you know, in the same way that I feel about the NASA worm, like, you know when this was. Perfect.
100%.
Damn. Great link, Jake.
Yeah. So that's it.
You got any picks?
I have a pick, yeah. It's very fitting for today. Because today is the 50th anniversary, as we're recording this, of the Apollo 13 launch, which ended up being a pretty interesting mission. And they're doing the Apollo 13 in real time. This is Ben Feist, I think is his name, does these great websites. You can load this website up. It's like a console, and it has a video that's applicable and pictures that are applicable, and it goes in real time through the mission timeline. You can hear the loop, you can see the pictures, you can see the video, you can see the text of the transcript, and you can just watch the mission as it goes. So it kicked off, you know, today. Here, you've got it up on the screen.
Is this
here.
The one?
That's the one. So it hit now, and you can, it'll take you right to what's going on now. So they launched a couple of hours ago, so they should be...
And we copied this. Myla said they had no FM, so that's why I had to go to the TV position on the switch.
Probably still in Earth orbit. Looks like it by the picture there. Current velocity, 27,000. Yeah, so they're still in Earth orbit. This is so cool. You can just watch the mission go. They did this for Apollo 11 and I think Apollo 17 they've done already. But they had this one going and it's just, yeah. It's
there
just
are so many buttons to click. I'm like overwhelmed.
Yeah, there's
I
want to
click all
on.
Of them. What do I do with all these buttons?
I don't know. I haven't even fully explored it all. But you can all the different audio loops and stuff and it just happens in real time and plays it all towards you. So you can really just like... experience the mission. This is such a cool way to show off all the information about this there. Or are they doing, what are they? Oh, have you moved ahead?
I don't know. I don't know what any of these timestamps mean.
You're just clicking
quite
stuff.
Frankly, I'm anyway, just clicking around.
So listeners, if you want, I mean, this is, we're streaming this live on Saturday the 11th, which is a launch day, but it's going to be playing out over the next week, right? And so you can pop in and see what's going on with this. And you can manually, of course, jump to whatever time you want. So if you want to see the launch, if you want to see Houston, we've had a problem, you can just jump right to that spot and see what it's like, but that's awesome. I love it. All right, he's getting his now.
The dead air was me stepping away for this. So I have, our main topic of the show was the NASA worm. I have in my hands a reprint of that graphics manual that Jake referenced earlier in the episode. So this is available for free as a PDF, which was linked to by the JB post about the worm coming back. So you can scroll through it on that PDF, but this was maybe, I have no idea what year this was, but I kickstarted this way back in the day. This group got a hold of all the original copies of the NASA graphics standard manual for the worm and did a full reprint that includes, I'm trying to get to the good pages because there's some really good pages in here. Did you scroll through this at all and that one was linked to in that post?
No, I looked at this. I think when the Kickstarter came out, I browsed through it and I almost bought this. I'm regretting that I didn't buy it.
There are full page foldouts of like how to use the worm on various types of vehicles.
It's so good.
You need this in your life, even if you're a worm hater. Look at this van.
It's so perfect. It's like, it's the exact kind of van you shouldn't get into if a kid, if some guy offers you candy, but it's got NASA on the side. So
especially
it's like, well,
because it says Aerospace Education Unit.
Oh, man.
This is us rolling up the DM2 in the Aerospace Education Unit.
Yeah, it's perfect.
Look at these. Do you want a pickup truck with the NASA worm on it? Would you like one of those?
The bus? I think I rode one of those buses. They probably
Would you like a bus with the NASA worm on it? Here's how to display it properly.
Like, that is some thought put into the whole design system, right? Like, that's so cool.
And that was the point of why the worm was so great. This is one of the premier examples of a design manual for a logo. This is still to this day, like, one of the gold standards.
100%.
Now it goes into a lot more like how to use it on NASA paperwork and what papers should be like, yada, yada. There's so much in here. There's the story of the worm itself. There's a little bit of a prologue to this. If you are a worm lover like I am, this is a gold mine that is one of my favorites to just flip through for good design inspiration. Just look at this, like having this hard copy.
It's so thick. And
it's
so
amazing.
There's so much going on there. And you're like, oh, it's the logo. What more can you learn about it? And you're like, no, how many pages is that? That's like,
there's not really page numbers.
It's gotta be like 100, 200 pages.
It's a lot.
Right?
It's a lot of pages.
There's a lot going on there. It's perfect. Yeah.
I'm just flipping through it because it's just wonderful. And like, here's a good page. There's this old, like, shuttle art.
Wow.
This is wonderful. So anyway, you can scroll through the PDF. You should scroll through the PDF. But it's, if you want to have something in your house that people are like, oh, ooh, the NASA worm, and then start flipping through it, and they're like, they had ideas for how this should be on pickup trucks? Like, why did they do that? This is the thing you need in your life.
Yeah, so. It's really good. I love it. It's a great pick. Perfect pick for this episode.
So again, don't spend the money if you don't want to. Just download the PDF. But if you want to have a great high quality book in your life, it's pretty expensive. It's like $80. Not gonna
for,
be I'm gonna be honest.
For a book that you're not really gonna read. You're just gonna like browse.
I read it, but like
You read it. You would have read it, yeah. Okay, yeah.
It's
so
amazing.
How much margin should I have below the NASA font but above the Helvetica text? Like, where do I
SpaceX is going to need it when they put the worm on Starship and they go get Hubble. And it's gonna be one of the greatest days.
We got the stats in the Discord here. 220 pages, 9.5 by 11. Yeah, so it's like a big book. Cool. Look at all that stuff. Oh.
It's high quality.
It's high quality book.
Yeah.
Printed in Italy.
Only the best.
Hmm. You think they would have got a red blooded American publisher to do that? But.
Well, you know.
Andy, this has been fun. This is a really cool episode.
Great episode. Horrible audio content. I'm sorry for everyone listening.
Yeah.
You are just going to be sitting there Googling for an hour.
You can watch the whole Twitch stream again on Twitch
soon.
For the next,
like, you got to get on it soon.
14 days or something. It
also, we had
there.
A stream outage at some point. I don't know how this is going to turn out in video on demand format. Get to it quick.
Get to it quick. So, but yeah, you can see in real time. We're going to try and do this more. I think this is a really fun, different way to do the podcasting. So I hope you guys liked it.
Quick boot camp update. Jake, you have graduated.
Mm-hmm. I have graduated, so I am done my formal education, as formal as it ever would have gotten. We did a final project, and I built this cool little app called Book People with a friend of mine, and we put it together. So it was like a two-week kind of demo thing. And what is really exciting is that I'm actually going to be continuing work on it now that I'm done to build it into a production app that you guys can use, listeners. So the idea is basically you can, as a community, we're going to kind of collect space books that we want to recommend to read, and you'll be able to use this to get recommendations for different books if you're all in that kind of stuff. So we'll put that NASA one on there, you know, we'll get that right in there as a book recommendation. And so if you want to participate in that and, you know, submit books and stuff, we'll be opening that up to the patrons of both We Martians and Miko. And if you want to just use it because you're not a subscriber, that's fine too. You can kind of build little wish lists and things like that. So I'm working on that. I don't have a good timeline for you. I'm not good at estimating how long things take in web development.
Pro
yet.
Tip, even when you're good, you don't have a good estimate. Yeah.
You know, I thought that, I knew. So
see,
the
also
first thing,
Elon Musk.
Yeah. The first thing that I wanted to build after I graduated was to take like the demonstration and do user authentication, right? Because you got to be able to like log in and save your stuff. And I was like, I know this is going to be the biggest like part of making it production, but oh my God, it's like huge. Like just trying to integrate Patreon and through OAuth and Auth0 for all this stuff. So it's a whole thing. But anyway, I'm working on it. I feel like I have a good head wrapped around it now. So you should see it reasonably soon. And I hope that that's kind of a cool value add for all the people that are supporting us on Patreon.
Boom.
Boom. I guess I'm a web developer now.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, end of test.